quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Ketse, Kwikwetlem, and Stolo First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and today's episode of Typically Tuesdays is one that I didn't think that I would make, mainly because 2 months ago, even 1 month ago, I would not have considered doing an episode of Typically Tuesdays about this specific topic, but times change, and I am the person who's existing in front of you on your radio right now. I'm going to be talking about Wicked, the movie musical that recently came out in November 2024, and everybody was talking about it at the time. I didn't want to. I didn't think that I had anything to say about it, but then as I finished watching the movie a few weeks ago, and I realized that I wanted to say something about the discussions around Wicked, the movie musical. Wicked, the movie musical, of course, is the film adaptation of the popular Broadway musical called Wicked. That stage play in itself was an adaptation of a novel by Gregory Maguire, an American writer, and his book called Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. That book was based on the stories of Frank L. Baum, the person who wrote the Wizard of Oz series. Oh my god, what a mouthful. But what you need to know right now is, before I get super into it, one, you should Google what Wicked is all about, if you have not known yet. Two, you need to know that the main characters, one of them is Elphaba, who is the Wicked Witch of the West. Think back to the Wizard of Oz movie in Technicolor. Her main character design, I guess, color scheme is green and black. And then the other protagonist is Glinda, the good witch of the whatever direction she's from. And her main character design color scheme is pink. And that is also the playlist of today. Green and black, mostly green, and pink. So enjoy as we get right into it. And I ask for a little bit of help from my good friend Kermit. Laying it on thick here on Typically Tuesdays, 90.1 FM, CJSF.
Greetings, Kermit the Frog here, and today I'd like to tell you a little bit about the color green. Do you know what's green? Well, I am for one thing. You see, frogs are green, and I'm a frog, and that means I'm green, you see? It's not that easy being green. Having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things, and people tend to pass you over 'cause you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water. or stars in the sky. But green's the color of spring, and green can be cool and friendly like, and green can be big like an ocean, or important like a mountain, or tall like a tree. When green is all there is to be, it could make you wonder why. But why, wonder why, wonder? I am green, and it'll do fine. It's beautiful, and I think it's what I wanna be.
The Angel and the Saint by Goldie Boutillier here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. I'm talking about Wicked. I didn't realize that I would come to this point in my life. Partly because I wasn't sure if I would want to watch Wicked in its movie musical form. I am one of those people. Let me reveal a little bit about my personal life. I am a gay millennial who grew up watching Glee. Naturally, there is something in my tender heart that thinks of Wicked fondly in some way. However, I didn't know that I would want to watch like the movie musical version of the story, because there's something about movie musicals sometimes I feel like takes me out of like the fantasy of like the actual musical. And I think I just like enjoy the theatrics of an actual musical much more. But not only was everybody, most of the people who I knew, watching it and telling me how much they loved it, but also like the memes came. And I kind of got my life at the Cynthia Erivo Defying Gravity final riff of the song meme. And I really also got my life at the Holding Space for Defying Gravity meme. That was so good. So I did end up watching it largely for the music. During the time when I was trying to figure out if I wanted to watch the music, the movie, there was a lot of discussion that was popping up about the depiction of Oz, this place, and its politics, and a lot of discussions around good and evil, right? Wicked, if you are not familiar, is a musical based off of American author Gregory Maguire's novel called Wicked, Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. That novel is kind of like a retconned published fan fiction retelling of the Wizard of Oz series by Frank L. Baum. And Wicked, which I'll shorten it to Wicked, the novel questions how we as people in society come to the conclusion that a person can be evil. And he complicates that idea about good versus evil in the story of the Wizard of Oz by telling the life story, his own life, like, not his, telling his own fan fictional life story about Elphaba, who is the name that he gives the Wicked Witch of the West. In Wicked, Gregory Maguire tells the story of the Wicked Witch of the West and her friendship with Glinda, the Good Witch. They are rivals turned besties in college, and while Glinda is the respectable social climber, Elphaba has long been ostracized, largely because of her green skin. She's not necessarily a racialized person in this story. In the story of Oz, the racialized people, the racialized members of society, are actually animals who talk. Human animals, I guess, are not necessarily racialized people, but they do appear in all sorts of like phenotypes and racializations. And it just so happens also that Elphaba's skin is green, but her green skin is not a part of her racialization, if that makes any sense. Her green skin is just something about her that she is ostracized for, even though it has nothing to do with race technically in the story. And it is partly due to this ostracization that she's experienced her entire life, she finds solidarity with the oppressed group of members of society who are the talking animals of Oz. When she realizes that they are being persecuted and oppressed, she shows up in solidarity with them, and she uses her powers and privilege and her innate ability to use magic to advocate for the animals. When it becomes clear to the state that that is how Elphaba is going to use her abilities as a means to resist against the persecution of these marginalized people, she becomes an enemy of the state. The Oz version of the National Guard comes out and they're all trying to pursue her, and the propaganda of the state is all about framing Elphaba as essentially this like violent terrorist. And Glinda, who is Elphaba's bestie, unable to stop Elphaba from being so outspoken and defiant of the social hierarchy, gives up and essentially steps into the role of being a total bootlicker. She begins to work for the state, even though this is the power that is not only persecuting and oppressing the animals, but it is also the power that now wants her best friend's head on a stake. This is where the movie musical ends off. The novel and the stage musical, it keeps going on, and there's a lot more that comes after this, but that's supposed to be in a part two for the movie series. And we end part one with the iconic Broadway song, one of the best quote-unquote I Want songs in musical history, which is Defying Gravity. The song is one about resistance. It's about Elphaba realizing her true potential and how she is actually truly so powerful that she is going to use it in the ways that she thinks is just and right, and nobody can stop her. She accepts being the bad person, leans into the idea that she is unwanted by the wider mainstream society, and that is her like anthem of defiance. Now, Wicked the Musical has been out for more than 20 years, and lots of people have long resonated with the story, Elphaba, and particularly with the lyrics of Defying Gravity. But I think what's really interesting about the current buzz around this movie, and specifically about this song, is that it came pretty soon after the American federal election. And even in the way that I've described the plot of the story to you and the main conflict, perhaps you can see, there are some interesting parallels and allegories to much of society with regards to state violence and also propaganda. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that right after this music break. Again, as I mentioned, we are doing like the Green Lady and Pink Lady playlist. This song reminds me of the color green. Maybe it will for you too. Here's Wound Up Tight by Tallies here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Yeah.
This is Bird Note. Each season ushers in its own bounty of bird life. Winter is the best season to highlight North America's feathered thunderbolts, the falcons. Northern nesting species of falcons, like this peregrine we're hearing, move southward, closer to their many admiring observers. Hurtling through the air on blade-like wings, falcons rank among the fastest of all birds and the most adept at capturing prey in flight. One falcon much more prevalent across the U.S. in winter is the merlin. 10 inches tall with a 2-foot wingspan, the merlin chases down small birds from sparrows to sandpipers. Small but powerful, the fearless merlin will buzz even a huge eagle that enters its airspace. The majestic gyrfalcon drifts south in winter to the northern tier of states. Larger than a red-tailed hawk, in a direct sprint, the gyrfalcon can overtake even the fastest duck. The mid-sized peregrine falcon nests in some locales across the country, but its numbers are greatest in winter, especially near the coasts. During its dive on a hapless pigeon or dunlin, a peregrine may reach an airspeed approaching 200 miles an hour. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. That was Crush XOX by Tall Tale. My name is Leslie, and hopefully that song evoked the color pink to you, because we're doing a playlist about the Green Lady and the Pink Lady, because I'm talking about Wicked. Get into it. Get into the program. Wicked, the movie musical, I think really struck a chord in a lot of Americans, because they saw the way that the world, the society, Oz, persecuted people who are oppressed and also persecuted those who dare to resist against the mandated social hierarchy and resist against state violence. And they began to draw a lot of parallels between the prospective 4 years of their lives as American people living under a second Trump presidency. Some people also looked to the results of exit polls from the federal election and saw parallels between Glinda and, you know, I'll say it, like conservative white women, essentially, who voted for Republicans, feeling that, you know, it's a huge slap in the face and all that. Anyways, people were drawing a lot of parallels between, like, many things that were happening in Wicked and also in U.S. federal politics. And a lot of discussion was happening because of it. I had listened to some really interesting thoughts by some cultural critics, but one of the things I think stood out for me was this comment that not a cultural critic made, but actually Bob the drag queen, who is a celebrity in himself, a popular drag performer, was saying. He was holding space for Defying Gravity, the song, analyzing its lyrics and on a live stream, and had mentioned this point that I could not stop thinking about, which was that everyone wants to be Elphaba. Everyone wants to think that they are the type of person who would defy tyranny and stand on the ground of their ethics and act in a moral way. But most people, in fact, are Glinda, who perhaps would cower at the idea of being defiant or even not think too importantly about how they may become instruments of violence. How many people actually would rather move up in life and do the social climbing instead of doing what they believe actually is right, or even standing by their friend who is doing something ethically moral. I think that idea really struck me because I think what she's saying there is true. A lot of people, after watching Wicked and while they were drawing these political allegories to the US, they tended to think of Elphaba as a social progressive and Glinda as a conservative. I actually don't really agree with that. I personally see Glinda as a centrist, because even though she is not acting out of like an ethical place, I think she's largely driven by performativity and wanting to appear good, which I think a lot of centrists and liberals, I guess, tend to do. And I think, honestly, that is most people. They want to look good. There are not a lot of people who really oftentimes would want to act solely based on their personal politics and their sense of ethics. I think they more so want to appear in a certain way. But then there's that other side of the coin, right? Which is like, everybody thinks that they're Elphaba. And that struck me as very true as well. I wanted to think about why people would think of themselves as Elphaba when, you know, people, I think, usually are more so a Glinda type. And I was just like sitting on that, thinking about why that is. And in a strange way, I think it has to really do with the depiction of Elphaba as being a person who has been abandoned by society and who has been really alienated by most of the people around her. as a person who is ostracized and then later on politically persecuted, the way that we see Elphaba's life develop is a really tragic one. But ostracization and being alienated from her peers is kind of the main theme throughout her life. Society is so apparently repulsed by her and consider her as such an anomaly that even her family members have a lot of trouble being around her, wanting to be associated with her. I think that if you are a person who belongs to a marginalized group of people, perhaps that at some times has been your experience as well, where you also have felt ostracized, left out, or made to feel strange because of who you are, made to feel that you are a freak in some way. Elphaba is also an incredibly sympathetic character, despite the fact that she has been so ostracized by her peers and even the people who she cares about the most in the world, her family, and then later on, even her best friend. She always seems to do the right thing. She's like a huge Mary Sue in that way. She's smarter than you. She's more powerful than you. She has a stronger sense of ethics than you. And she is willing to speak out in defiance of the people who do not have faith in her, and in defiance of people who have made her feel small, have made other people feel small as well. This is kind of the ultimate underdog story, and Elphaba, I think, is kind of born to be a hero. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this character and why people, I think, resonate so much with her, especially in how the story unfolds and develops her as a hero after this music break. I feel like I couldn't do this playlist, I couldn't put it together without putting in some Seiko Matsuda, because she's like big girly pink energy. But then also, it wouldn't make sense if we're going to talk about Rivals to also lace in some Akina Nakamori. So you're going to hear two of the quote-unquote biggest rivals of Showa-era pop idol history. Here's Seiko Matsuda with Pink Mozart.
Oh,
This is Bird Note. On a chilly day, midwinter, you notice a large nest made of sticks high in a leafless cottonwood. Atop the nest sits a large, dark shape, its broad head sporting two ear-like tufts, suggesting a cat's ears. A female great horned owl is incubating two eggs. A light snow falls on her back as her mate roosts unseen in a nearby conifer. Since December, this pair has been hooting back and forth regularly at night. Why risk the year's most severe weather by nesting now? Probably because great horned owlets, which hatch after a month of incubation, must remain near their parents a long time compared to many other birds, right through summer and into early fall. During this time, young owls learn the skills they need to hunt on their own before the rigors of the next winter set in. This adaptive strategy has proven very successful. Great horned owls are the supreme predatory nightbirds from the northernmost forests of Canada to Tierra del Fuego. We have a photo of that owl, covered in snow, on our Facebook page. Have a look. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. There's a girl must be much too worn out to speak, really just revolving background from the corner to the sloppy black eyelid interior. So open and close beyond that. Is it cracked on the front of the we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. You just heard Pretty by Worrywart. My name is Leslie. If you're just joining me here in the final block of this hour, I've been talking about Wicked. I've been talking about the characters Elphaba and Glinda from Wicked. And I've also been talking about the song Defying Gravity, which is the final number of Wicked the Movie Musical Part 1 and the final number of Act 1 of the musical, the onstage musical. I think something dawned on me when I was like thinking really deeply about why people really resonate with Elphaba. And it's, you know, a lot of the reason why is what I had mentioned before, right? She's like, she's written in a particular way. She's an underdog. She is a really sympathetic character. She is kind of like the ultimate upstanding Mary Sue hero. And then I realized something else. And this is going to be a little bit of a stretch. This is going to be the level of, like, Leslie, you're doing too much, because at this point I have dug deep. I've gone too deep, and I'm, like, all the way up to my shoulders in dirt, essentially. So I'm not an educator, but I think maybe this has something to do with it. I recall when I was learning about, like, sociopolitical movements and activism when I was younger in school, and even actually now as well, when a lot of the times, like, on, like, traditional media and on social media, there's, like, a special celebration that comes up, people are often celebrating the person, like a social activist or a writer or a scholar of a movement, but we're not often taught about the full movement itself or the organizing. And I think a big part of that is because, like, it's really messy, it gets very complicated, and a lot of the times when we're talking about, like, a particular type of social movement, we're coming up against ideas that are quite philosophical, that are very nuanced, and maybe not all that digestible for a quick, like, you know, 15-minute pop quiz in class, or, like, for a 13-page carousel post on Instagram. And of course, it's not as though, like, it's not important to know about the names and the achievements of people in certain movements, like MLK Jr., for the Black Civil Rights Movement, or Harvey Milk for the Queer Rights Movement. It's not as though it's not important to know about what they've done and know about their lives. But at the same time, I think it makes us inadvertently think about social activism as something that individuals do, charismatic leaders do, but not necessarily that it is often a really hard thing to do, for lack of a better word. There's not a lot of, like, illuminating around struggle, ongoing struggle, mind you. And all of the little bits and pieces that go into the rest of it. And so when we think about righteousness and justice and fighting for what you believe in, I think people often end up thinking about individuals rather than whole collectives of people. Because think about it, right? In the movie, we don't actually see a whole lot of the political organizing that the animals are doing. And the animals are actually even the people who are most marginalized in this political situation in the world of Oz. Elphaba doesn't really have anything to do with it. Elphaba is just kind of, like, out here and, like, learned some stuff and then decided to take up the mantle as well. And at the same time, because of that, Elphaba appears to be very isolated, as though she does not have her own network of support. It's well established already that she does not have very many allies on her side when it comes to her having been bullied and discriminated against because of her green skin. But even when she has shown her allyship to the animals, we don't see her organizing politically with them either. For me, it makes me think about whether or not her, I don't know, this is kind of silly, I guess, but it makes me kind of think about whether or not her organizing is going to be sustainable in the future, right? Because now, not only is she apparently doing it mostly by herself, but importantly, she's also being politically persecuted to a level in which, like, the government legitimately wants to kill her. But, you know, this is kind of like the exact thing, as I said, that we're kind of taught in schools and kind of taught in, like, an informational knowledge post or something like that. When we learn about social movements, we learn about the individuals, the charismatic leaders of the movement. I think the story of social activism, if we really want to interpret it in that way, allows us to empathize with Elphaba, because it is, the story is framed in kind of that similar way that we're taught in schools about the charismatic one person, charismatic, you know, leader, or the tragic martyr of a social movement. And at the same time, I don't think that it's necessarily justified for people to feel that they are Elphaba. I really do find that most people would end up becoming a Glinda instead. Because think about what Elphaba is putting herself through, right? She's literally being hunted by the government. You know, even when we're learning about those important figures in these social activists, many of those leaders, many of those figures are assassinated, or they are censored for a very long time, or they are legitimately hunted by the government and subject to state-sanctioned murder, essentially. Frankly, how many of us are ready, willing, and able to be in their shoes, to be in the shoes of an Elphaba? I don't think that many of us are. But many people feel the urgency to take up some kind of cause because of the horrible flaming garbage can that many countries' politics are in right now, US and beyond. If I can offer just like one final thought, I guess, it would be to encourage people who are kind of stuck on that question, are you an Elphaba or a Glinda, to actually consider what they can be doing in this particular time to get involved in social and political organizing for people who are the most marginalized in society and who will most likely face the worst kinds of political and social persecution. We're seeing that unfolding at an accelerated rate towards newcomer, immigrant, refugee communities, to trans communities, particularly in the US. But of course, it's also happening in Canada too. Let us try to consider how we can organize alongside those who are being very unapologetically oppressed right now. I hope that what Wicked has done is to prompt people to think more with passion and intensity and ferocity about social and political organizing, and about struggle and liberation, and how they can contribute to those things. I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on Wicked? I know you have thoughts about Wicked. Everybody's got a thought about Wicked. My name is Leslie. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today for Typically Tuesdays as we went on this romp and this thought adventure. One final song for you today, then, to close off this kind of like Green Lady versus Pink Lady playlist. Kuroi Tsubasa, Black Wings by The Brilliant Green. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'll talk to you very soon.